Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Thorne Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Cowles behind the glass. Jim Colony here on the Fan Morning Show. And on the Fan Hotline right now, joining us is our guy, Jesse Marshall of The Athletic. Jesse, how are you doing, man?
Doing well, Doran. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Well, Jesse, you're not going to say hi to me? Come on, man.
Of course. I've been looking forward to this the most, man. Come on. Coming out of retirement for one day for me.
That's the only reason I did this. Although
I know it. Thank you.
Although, you want to come on again tomorrow? Because I'll be by myself.
Absolutely, for sure.
Jesse, obviously the NHL draft just passed us, and the Penguins, they had 2 second-round picks. Tell me if I'm saying his name right. Brennecke and Howe, I believe, is how you say at least the first guy's name. But 2 second-round picks, let's start there. Let's start with the draft. Let's go with the – and then next, let's move into the trade with Kevin Hayes and the St. Louis Blues. And then today is NHL free agency. And let's talk about what maybe Dubas has planned. Let's start with the draft, though, the 2 draft picks.
Yeah, I think they did really well, Dorn, to be quite honest with you. In my opinion, I think they probably got 2 guys here that you could argue should have been late first-round picks or probably left on the board for them a little bit. Harrison Brunick's a guy who didn't have a lot of games played last year. He only played 49 games, dealt with a couple issues. And I think if his slate would have been bigger, he'd have been way higher on the board for everybody. I think it was just a matter of not having a big enough sample size for him. But when I watch him, I think about like Paul Martin, you know, a defenseman that you could deploy – you know, virtually in any situation. This kid is tall, big, and a good skater, and that's a lethal combination for defensemen. Really good at carrying the puck around, and because of his height and his wingspan, you know, not only is he difficult to dispossess of the puck when he gets going, but he's also really difficult to beat in one-on-one situations defensively. He's got a huge reach, very active stick. I think this is a safe pick with a decently high ceiling. I think his offensive game is continuing to evolve, and last year you saw him take control of the puck a lot more than I think he did the year before, especially in the offensive zone, going a lot of journeys with it, open up space for himself. So, really safe pick here. And with Tanner Howe, the Penguins, I couldn't tell you guys the last time the Penguins had a prospect like Tanner Howe in the system. And what I mean by that, he is just very mean. He's a very mean individual. He's small. He's not huge. You probably would categorize him as a small forward, but he plays the game like he's 6'5". Goes to the front of the net a lot and lets you know about it. His mouth, you rarely see him quiet when you watch tape of him. He's always saying something to somebody, getting under somebody's skin, chirping. He's very much a Chris Kunitz-like player. The big question with him was what he would do this year. You know, he played alongside Connor Bedard last year. It was obviously the number one overall pick that had an unbelievable season with the Blackhawks. Everybody said, look, with Tanner Howe, it's do or die. Connor Bedard is gone, and you're either a product of Connor Bedard or you're a good player in your own right. And he proved to everybody this year he's a good player in his own right. He did not need Connor Bedard. He wore the captain's C for that team this year out in Regina. And, ultimately, I think is again, a relatively safe pick. His shot is his best asset. He's an unbelievable one-timer, good skater. I don't think that's anything really extraordinary. He's very solid in that department. You have concerns about size, but, again, with this attitude and with his – sort of, try and stop me approach to the game and his mixing it up in front of the net, I'm not concerned about size. I mean, he plays through it. He's always played through it. And I don't think it's a detriment to him. So, I think given the fact that they didn't have a first rounder, they still ended up walking away with 2 guys you could make an argument for that they should have gone in the first round. And I think that's a good bit of business for them at 44 and 46.
Well, Jesse, you're making this guy sound pretty good. Why did he last so long then? Just because of his size?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, and also, too, Jim, he's not a burner, right? This guy doesn't have, like, top-end Martin St. Louis-style speed. And I don't think his skating is a detriment. But, ultimately, I think it's size combined with the fact that he doesn't have any, again, outside of that shot, he doesn't have any one outstanding offensive tool set, right, that you look at and say, oh, this is discernibly what sets him apart from everybody else. But I talk about his hockey IQ. He's constantly going to the right places to score goals. He has a willingness to engage in those areas. I think we're still a little bit archaic. And you even heard Daniel Briere say this yesterday, Jim, after the draft was over, that he's always going to take the bigger guy, which is crazy because he was a 5'8". But I think for whatever reason, size still has that that trope around it that small forwards have a harder path to the NHL. In this case, I don't think that's true at all, especially for a guy this willing to mix it up.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We're speaking with Jesse Marshall of The Athletic right now. And Jesse, all we hear is Pens need to get younger. Pens need to get younger. They need to get younger. They need younger guys. And then Kyle Dubas and the Pittsburgh Penguins trade future considerations for Kevin Hayes and a second-round pick from the St. Louis Blues. How do you see that working out? Do you see a fit with Kevin Hayes and the Penguins?
Well, the thing is, Dorn, Kyle Dubas didn't say how much younger, right? Like, true. 32, technically speaking, is younger. I question, Dorn, how this will go. I mean, Mike Sullivan has shown sort of this desire to keep the Penguins in the 2017 version of themselves, right? High forechecking, high tempo, let's get up there and break up the breakout. Kevin Hayes does not help with that. That is not his style of game. He's not a heavy forechecker. He's not a very good skater. He's a defensively apt playmaking third line center. Now, if the question is he better than some of the guys that played that role last year? I think, but the margin is hair length. It's not a lot. I don't think he's a detriment to this team, but again, with their identity being what it is and the way that they want to play, this isn't a guy you would normally picture in that role. So, look, when it comes to setting plays up last year in the offensive zone, he's in the 80-plus percentile among NHL forwards. He's still got it as far as being able to set guys up, but he's not creating a lot himself. You kind of have to have him in the right environment in order for it to work. So I expect more of today. We'll see additional retooling of that bottom six, and it was a huge issue for them last year. They're absolutely no depth scoring whatsoever. Hayes can set him up well still, but he's not as good at putting him home. So, again, they have to strike the right balance here. Now, if they're playing him with a guy like a Valtteri Puustinen, who's a good shooter, loves to carry the mail, loves to get the puck across the blue line, I think that works a little bit. You have to surround him with those kind of useful guys that can win puck races and carry the mail and do some of those foundational things for him, because that's not really his game anymore at this point in his career.
That just seems like, though, that when I heard that, I'm thinking, okay, if they traded for this guy 5 years ago, I thought this would be pretty good. It just seems it also, and the other thing I've heard speculation anyway, or seen, I haven't heard anything, so I don't talk to anybody anymore, but that this is, they may not keep him, that this may be a precursor. And you mentioned stuff that may happen later today, but there might be he might be on the move still. Is that a possibility in your mind?
I wouldn't rule that out, Jim. I haven't heard that personally, but the fact that they got a second round pick attached to this, that's like the sweetener for them, right? I mean, they said, Kyle Dubas said last week, we may have to trade to buy picks, essentially. So that could have been what the situation was. Maybe the second rounder is the thing they really want here, and they think there's value in this player. I think the one plus you have in this column, Jim, is that there are teams eating salary here that make his cap hit a lot more digestible, if you will. You're not paying him $7 million a year against the cap. You've got other teams chipping in on that. So I think that makes it possible that if a team needs a utility bottom six forward, maybe Kyle Dubas can make a hockey trade with him in a package for something else. That being said, rhetoric seems like they're intent on having him compete for a spot. But with the way that their situation is now with depth forwards, I wouldn't rule anything out.
You don't expect them to make any big moves today or big name moves?
No big name moves, yeah. I mean, if you look at the board, like the guys out there, like the Stamkoses of the world, that is not conversations that they're involved in. I think what we see today is very similar to what we saw last year, where there's a lot of lower profile names that they can kind of come in on and try to round that bottom six out. They cannot at all go into another year of that Crosby Malkin line being the only source of scoring and even strength. But you look at the names around here, and the one intriguing thing I will tell you is there are a lot of guys that are younger that were restricted free agents that did not receive a qualifying offer. A name that rose out yesterday that I'm really intrigued in is Sam Steele. No young forward that hasn't necessarily worked out the way that they've wanted to in Dallas yet. That's a possibility, right? There's names out there like that. But you look at the crop of unrestricted free agents, and they're all guys between the ages of 31 and 34, right? And there's not a lot of stuff out there that's a lot of youth. So I think you're going to look at short-term deals, one-year prove-it deals, that kind of thing, two-year maxes for small amounts of money on guys that need to go somewhere and prove their worth for a year. That sort of transitional style of player, I think, is what Kyle Dubas is looking for to try to maximize what he can out of that bottom six for the short term.
What do you make of the David Quinn hire? I mean, he's Sullivan's best friend, basically. And yet I also read that they're best friends, and yet they don't necessarily agree on everything, and that he'll actually be a good counter to some of the stuff that Sullivan likes to do.
Yeah, well, they said he's going to take over the power play, right, which I think is the biggest thing here. You know, if we want to talk about power play issues, I think you could do whatever you want. From a personnel standpoint, Jim, you could watch tape from the Penguins power play from 2017 to prepare for a game last year. That's a big issue. It hasn't changed. It hasn't evolved. It's grown very stale. So if he's going to come in and revamp that, I think that's good enough for me. I don't think you could judge him at all, Jim, by what he did in San Jose. I mean, that was a situation where they were trying to lose, right? Let's deploy the worst possible roster we can and go after some top picks. So he was, you know, thrown, you know, to the slaughter there in that sense. But I like the idea that there are diametrically opposed opinions here. I think that fresh voice is necessary. And again, you know, personnel aside, you know, we know that he ran at one point a power play that had Erik Karlsson on it that was good. So that's good enough for me, right? I mean, I think if we can come and get a fresh voice there, get a new system, that could be worth it for the higher level.
How is he going to do that? Because you've got a guy who's a coach, you've got four Hall of Famers, well, at least three Hall of Famers on the power play, and so you've got guys that they know how to play, they know what they want to do, and even. You know, are they going to listen to a coach? Because it appears that they don't, because I can't imagine that Todd Reirden and Mike Sullivan had to have told these guys last year and even the year beyond how to be terrible on the power play. It's just, how do you fix what we've saw last year?
You have to change the focus, Jim, right? You have to, and I'm going to go back to the system for a second, because I think I'm going to slightly disagree with what you just said. I think that Crosby, Malkin, Karlsson, Letang, those guys all were doing what they were told. And I think that's what the problem was. The problem was they had a power play that was more about playing off the perimeter of the ice than the net front of the ice. They got pushed outside. They were playing patty cake along the blue line. There was no off-puck movement, nothing. Nobody doing any. Now, you could say, hey, they should have figured that out themselves. They're veteran players. They've won cups. But now we can criticize them for freelancing too much and not listening to the coach at the same time. So I do believe, Jim, this is entirely a systemic issue. I think that they, again, have had a power play that for really the better part of 6 years was the same. No changes. I think the biggest wrinkle they ever threw in was a drop pass on their zone entries. And I hate that.
I know.
If that's the only change you've made over a six-year period, you know, it's just the trend these days is the power kill, right? Penalty kills aren't passive anymore. They want to score shorthand goals, and they're very aggressive. You can exploit that, but you can't do it standing still. And I don't think that staff, as it was constructed last year, Jim, had any idea how to step outside of the box and rework that thing to get that movement that they needed. It was sort of like they were frozen in fear. So, again, big thing here, I mean, this being his responsibility, I mean, I'm personally probably going to judge this hire off of how he does in that regard. I think that's probably his most important responsibility.
Well, Jesse, we always, always appreciate you, and I guess you'll talk to Jim tomorrow, but thank you for coming on today.
I wasn't going to force him to come on tomorrow.
You forced him. You already got him. He said okay. He's on the hook now.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jesse.
Right, see you.